Are we on? I got to email from Ireland. I got to correct some stuff I said yesterday. Freaking Irish? You can't say that. They don't live in County Kerry. They live in County Wicklow. That's apparently a big deal. And the local village is Enniskerry. And they are not directly related to Darby. The husband, John's, his sister, married a Wingfield who is a descendant of Lady Powers Court, who used to host the Darby meetings.
You're going to take all this out, right?
No, we got to leave it in there for John and Liz.
No, I'll add it to yesterday.
So you said this yesterday, and they heard it already, and emailed you,
we're in the
electronic
age live or something?
God, it's almost like radio.
I didn't upload it
until
late last night.
Well, I just listened to it.
Like last night, they listened to it.
Late last night?
Whenever they listen to it, they listen to it. I don't want to talk about that anymore. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And if any relatives are listening, I'm not going to behave any better just because you're listening. What?
You say 2 Corinthians 4.
Remember, last time we studied this, we talked about in verse 3:18. But we all, with open face—that means honest, hiding nothing—with open face, because we're beholding not ourselves, we're beholding in a glass. The glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord is a resurrected Christ. And are changed or transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Remember, the word faint means to quit in your mind. To leave in your mind. You faint in your mind when you inhabit another dimension, when you go to your mountaintop, when you do anything other than 100% reliance and trust in God. So the word faint gets more and more pristine, or what's the word? Unique, as we go farther and farther in the pathway.
Can I jump back to faith for a second? Like I was thinking, faith, so you look at my face, you can't tell I'm dead.
You're kidding.
Well, Kevin can.
No.
You don't want to look at my face. But I think it means your heart, doesn't it? More than your face. It has to be something more.
No, well, open face. That means there's nothing hidden. You're not covering anything. Most of us, what we do is we cover our shame. And we cover it so well that we forget that we have shame until somebody reminds us. You don't want to proceed on this one anymore?
I heard it up.
Huh?
Heard it up.
Okay.
You mentioned the S word.
I mean, just think how much of your life is controlled by shame. Oh, come on. That's a cheap shot. Are you going to let him do that to your wife, John? Kick his yuppie ass? Therefore, seeing as we have...
It's the hounds of the bastard place.
One more. I noticed that Carolyn left.
On the dog.
One more.
No, it's the hounds.
Come back.
No, they heard the door slam.
I know. Who knows what they know?
A
leave them open quiet.
Oh, yeah, I really want that.
I don't like that much noise.
Might have to do some fill-in.
Bojo, Hounds of the Bojoville.
One more day.
Are the dogs going to make it one more day?
The dogs are the happiest.
Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, remember, ministry means being a servant. As we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Now, guess what dishonesty means? Shame. We have renounced the hidden things of shame. Remember in the Garden of Eden, what's the first thing that happened? They hid in the trees because they were naked, and they were ashamed. What was the voice of God? Who told you you were naked? Who told you that the shame you have shouldn't have been exactly as it was and just as much and as precious as any glory? But we cover that shame so completely, so well, because it is something. Obviously, if it's not shame, we wouldn't have anything to worry about. But we cover it so well that we forget we have it. Now, and therefore, if we forget we have shame, we forget we are sin. We think we trespass, but we don't think we sin. We all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. We don't faint. We have renounced the hidden things of shame. I can't tell you how important this is. The problem is I know a few of you so well that I know your shame. I won't pick on you this morning, Gary.
Sitting in this chair.
Huh? You have no shield? We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty or shame, not walking in craftiness, not walking to hide or manipulate. We just be. I want you to consider, if you have children and if you ever were a child, how much of your behavior was controlled and just forced on you by your parents? You thought it was stupid. Does anybody remember that? So the craftiness, not walking in shame, we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty or shame, not walking in craftiness. Craftiness means trying to get along, making sure we don't upset anybody, making sure our children we've eaten enough of the flesh of our children so they won't embarrass us. Just not handling nor handling the Word of God deceitfully. Now, how do you handle the Word of God deceitfully? Remember over here in chapter 2 of 2 Corinthians, verse 17, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. The word corrupt there and the word deceitfully here are both, they're both words which mean adulterate. They're two different words, like to cheat and to scam. But they both mean to adulterate. It means to add water to the wine for the purposes of commerce. In other words, if you so adulterate the Word of God, you can have the entire world following you. If you use the Word of God to justify your greed, you will get a huge number of followers. If you adulterate the Word of God further in a thousand ways so that you become, instead of disciples, you become seekers, and that Christians are supposed to be champions, and slowly but surely you've adulterated the Word of God until you cannot tell the difference between wine and the water. Now, unfortunately, what we most of us know about Christianity is adulterated wine. Everybody understand? Because we use our own experience and our own wants as the filter by which we look into the Word. And so, by definition then, we carry our own idolatry or the way we think things should be, and we put God's name on it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody got any personal examples of them doing it? You find things like the Aquarian gospel. Some of us do, don't we, Gary?
You don't have to go there. I was thinking how, you know, when you sit in this room and you can say it like it is, and we'll filter it right now and here to make it fit some constructs that we don't want to let go of.
Takes years and years and years.
Yeah, that's why all of a sudden somebody say, "Ah, is that what you're saying?" After 15 years or something like that, it's just amazing what it takes to get your ears open to hear.
The first thing you have to admit is that you don't like this message. And anybody tells you the gospel of God is good news to you is an idiot. They're trying to pervert the mystery of God. I'm sure you probably, huh? All right. Nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation, again, this idea of openness, being just being, but by manifestation of the truth, commending yourselves openly to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now, how do you commend yourself openly to every man's conscience in the sight of God? You don't. I'm going to shoot that dog. I'm not going to give Bojo a chance to shoot it. Huh? You are really, that's just sick. Commending yourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Now, it's the same blinding that happened with Moses when they asked to put a veil over Moses' face. The same blinding now is our flesh, because we look at life and we look at the Word of God and we look at education and we look at society is, how can this benefit me? What can I get out of this? And the minute you do that, then the gospel is hid. A shield comes down. And that shield comes down so that no matter where you look, you still only see, what does this mean to me? Or how can I use that? Everything is a mirror. It's not just the Word of God. The entire world is a mirror because you're the center of the universe. If it's too cold, it's a plot against you. If you fall down on the ice, you have to sue somebody. If your child isn't learning at school, it's the school's fault. So there's lawsuits up the gazoo. And again, this is getting worse and worse and worse and worse because everything in society is moving towards the gratification and the enhancement of the isolated self. Does everybody see that? So you become more and more and more of a victim.
I see that in my business where every single aspect of remodeling has an outrageous number of choices. So people have to the shade of paint has to be so absolutely perfect and work exactly with the color of the countertop, which matches the floor. It's just that what's taking place there just drives people into themselves so deep.
But this mirror that the entire human race looks at life through and says, we all, the believers, beholding as in the, we no longer look at the world as in a glass or as in a mirror. We behold as in the glass the glory of the Lord instead of the mirror. Then we no longer see ourselves. We don't see ourselves when we look at There is nothing that has anything to do with you. That's why people, you know, when I told you about that this person got mad at me because he was wanting me to pray for him because of a test that he was going through, and I said, "You can't go through a test." That's just another example of the mirror. If something is happening to you, whether it's your feelings hurt or your pain or a cold or illness or something isn't going the way you think, but it's all about you. So you don't behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord. You behold as in the glass you. And it's over and over and over. And the funny part of it is, you know who sees this most clearly? It's teenagers. That's why most of the disciples were teenagers. Because you see through the bullshit of your parents' value systems. It's just terrible. And then what do? Then we sell out. Then we buy. We opt into the system. And then we're lost. Until we fail so badly that nothing can help us. And we come back to the place we were when we were teenagers, when we saw the whole thing was crap anyway. Does anybody remember that?
You know, you said a couple of minutes ago, exchange with Gary, about how it just takes years and years and years of hearing this. And the most helpful analogy you've ever told me was, you said you're living inside a mirrored sphere. It's like being inside a giant weather balloon. It's mirrored. And everywhere you look, up, down, front, back, around, all you can see is yourself. And all that happens over time, and listening to preaching and living and seeing, is piece by piece by piece, the silver scratched off the outside of that sphere, and you can see through it and go, "Oh my God, there's a universe that isn't me." But it does take. You got to cut every escape route's got to be cut off. You got to be squeezed.
I mean, that's why there's only one story in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. There's only one story in the meaning of the signs of the zodiac. There's only one story in watching a plant grow. There's only one story. But it has to be repeated so that it that one single story, that one tale, is seen in every arena of your entire universe. And that's why, you know, it says, that's why this incredible thing where the scriptures tell you, Jesus said no one can come to me unless he hate his mother, his father, his sister, his brother, his wife, his children, yea, his own life also. That's the worst thing. But Jesus was a good teacher. No, he wasn't. That doesn't mean hate. It just means to love less. No. It means hate. Because you hate those labels that keep you from seeing the person. Unless you can, if you still are operating on the label of wife or husband or child, then that person can never be seen as they are because they're seen through those labels. You understand? I pray you do. If our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Again, the blindness is the silver nitrate on the glass which causes the mirror. You are your own redemption. Therefore, everything is a reflection of you. What can I get out of this? What can I do with this? How can I use this? And that's what you look at everything. You meet people. How can this person benefit me? And the minute you do that, you've sold out. And the gospel is hid. That's enough for today. And that's why we hate it, because it destroys us in every possible instance. It destroys all of our illusions about what we're going to be someday. If I only had a magazine, then I'd be... Listen, Gary's taking some hits today, but he's the only one that knows it.
He's having bad hair.
Anybody have any other response? You like it any better, John?
I have something I'm thinking about. We were designed and built by a really smart guy. And some of the stuff that keeps us alive and keeps us able to function is also our worst enemy, though. It's like driving down the highway. You can see somebody coming out of the corner of your eye, and without consciously, you can compute the close ratio between your vehicle and their vehicle and where they're going to be when you're going to be there, and et cetera, et cetera. So you can do all that stuff beyond your awareness. And you have a blind spot in your eye, but you don't know it because your brain is able to fill in that empty spot. There's all this incredible stuff that your mind can do.
But that's all tested.
Which is lied to you.
Right.
Because if that blind spot is filled in based on faulty information, then you come up with, or if all of this is based on faulty stuff, you come up with whole scenarios and
that's
theories
why,
of reality that are just bullshit.
That's why the test of faith is this incredible statement that no sudden fear shall come upon you. No blind spot shall cause you to jerk. You understand? No snake shall get you. No spider shall cause you to jump. Why? Because you're no longer operating on the basis of these senses. What?
They're killing you.
They're howling. They're killing each other. One of them's in a crate.
No, this is critical. I mean, that's exactly right. But you come to a point where you no longer operate on any level based on the senses, so that no sudden fear shall come upon you. Who can conceive of repenting from fear? Well, you better.
Two dogs are making that much noise.
They multiplied overnight.
A puppy farm upstairs.
Broadcasting live from the SBC.
No, it's their response to the preaching.
Yeah, people yelling down here, and they're going, "We gotta do something about it."
Got the hounds in hell in their apartment.
Take it, big guy. Everybody understand? Anybody have any response? It's about sudden fear. Do you understand the meaning of that? No sudden fear shall come upon you.
Sudden fear is this, it's only created in your mind.
Right. It's like I'm blind. You know, I told you, Harry was talking about the blind spot. When I was electrocuted, there's a whole universe of my eye. I can't see my hand. My hand doesn't exist, but I don't know that spot is blind until I do that. The real truth is I am entirely blind. Everything I see is an illusion.
It's all interpolations based on that information.
That's why faith is the only answer. Not faith to get something, but faith to know that every moment is perfect. I don't have to change anything. That's why to adulter, but everybody wants to change. Just think about the ridiculousness. You go into a library and there's 500 books that tell you how to lose weight. Well, if any of them worked, there'd only be one. But everybody wants to change. And so, and no matter how much, most of you know. In the 50s, I decided all these guys like Jack Kerouac and Lenny Bruce and Mort Saul were my heroes. So I went to New York, stayed in Greenwich Village, and my hair was down below my shoulders, my beard, bright red beard. And I dressed in black, and I got up there, and the whole damn place was long hair, beard, and everybody dressed in black. And so I was a non-conforming conformist. All the rest of the idiots were doing the same thing I was. In Arizona, it was different because I was the only one that did it. But when I went up there, then everybody else was. And so I said, something's wrong with this picture. Oh, I'm a rebel because I'm not conforming. My God. John just killed the dogs. The only way to be a true rebel in society is to live by faith only, not accept any value system. All right, take a big guy.
Take a big dog.